Tonight, as I mentioned this morning, I'm going to preach part two of a sermon that I started this morning. We've read from the same passage tonight that we did from this morning. Again, for those of you that weren't here this morning, and again, let me review a little bit for them. This psalm was written by David after his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, after he murdered her husband Uriah to try to cover it up. And in this psalm, he asks for God's cleansing. He says, "Wash me and purge me, blot out my transgressions." He prays, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." And I mentioned this morning, that's exactly what God did. When God decides to answer a prayer, oftentimes he'll do more than we ask for. He'll give us more than we ask for. And that's what he did for David. David asked for forgiveness, and God gave him that forgiveness. And this morning, I tried to remind all of us how wonderful the forgiveness of God is by reminding us of seven things that it does. And again, by way of review, God's forgiveness takes care of my eternal condemnation. I no longer have to stand before the throne of judgment and give account for my sins. Jesus paid for all of them on Calvary, and by his grace and his mercy to me, I won't have to give an account of my sins before God in eternity. Number two, I says it caused God to take sin off my record. He blots out all my sins. And again, as I mentioned this morning, sometimes when we erase a pencil writing from a paper, it leaves smudges and it leaves indentations. Well, when God blots out our transgressions, it's like the page is pure, never been written on, clean. Number three, it prevents God from writing any more sins on my record. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Doesn't mean I never sin again after I get saved, but it means that God puts that sin on the record of Jesus Christ, who died for all of my sins and doesn't put them on my record. And then number four, he takes Jesus's record and puts that on my record. I'm dressed in his righteousness. And so all the good things about Jesus are now on my record. And number five, therefore he justifies me. I stand before God tonight just as if I've never sinned, just as if I'd never done one thing wrong, just as if I never committed a sin of omission. I stand before God clean and pure as his Son, Jesus Christ, was. Number six, he separates me from my sin. As far as the east is from the west, buried in the deepest part of the sea. And then number seven, God's forgiveness causes God to forget my sin. His forgiveness does all that for me. His forgiveness does all that for you. I was thinking this afternoon about that little chorus we sing sometimes. Gone, 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 gone. Oh, yes, yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall reign eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. They're gone. So are yours. The forgiveness of God is a wonderful thing. But as I mentioned this morning, there are some things that the forgiveness of God does not do. We read verse 3. David said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." I'm glad that God is a second chance God. I'm glad that he takes those broken vessels and repairs them and uses them. I'm glad 1 John 2:1 is in the Bible, when the Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate, an intercessor with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." I'm glad that God takes things that the world throws away and redeems them and uses them. But you know, sometimes I think we take the forgiveness of God for granted. Sometimes I think we go in and out of the will of God too flippantly. I know 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible. I know that we can go and confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But every now and then, we need to be reminded that even as Christians, there are consequences for leaving the will of God. there's a price that we pay for leaving his will. I mean, forgiveness washes us, it cleanses us, it blocks out our transgressions, but there are some things that forgiveness will not do. And tonight I want to mention four of those things. Number one, forgiveness does not erase our sins on earth. In heaven, God wipes our record clean. In heaven, God will never write another sin on our record. In heaven, God justifies us. In heaven, God forgets our sins. But I got news for you tonight. People don't. God forgave David his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah. He called David later in the scriptures a man after his own heart. And we remember David. We remember David as a shepherd boy. We remember him as the one that killed Goliath. We remember him as a great king of Israel. But we also remember Bathsheba and Uriah. God forgave Abraham's sin when he left God's will and went down to Egypt. Picked up a little slave girl called Hagar. Had an illegitimate child. God forgave him. And God forgot his sin. I mean, he called Abraham my friend. And yet, as we remember Abraham, we remember that he was the father of the faithful. We remember he showed great faith when he left Ur of the Chaldees and went to that place that God showed him. We remember the great faith that he had when he took his son Isaac up on the mountain and was willing to offer him as a sacrifice to God. But we also remember his sin. We remember Hagar. We remember his illegitimate son. God forgave Noah when he lay naked after he got drunk, caused one of his sons to be cursed because he saw his father's nakedness. And God forgave him, called him a preacher of righteousness in the New Testament. And so God forgot Noah's sin. And when we remember Noah, we remember a man of great faith, a man that spent 100 years building an ark when it had never rained on the earth before, preparing a place to save the world, preparing a place to save God's creation. But when we remember Noah, we haven't forgot that he got drunk and he caused one of his sons to be cursed. God forgave Moses when the sin that he committed was so bad that even after leading God's people 40 years through the wilderness, God said, I'm not going to allow you to lead them into the promised land. I mean, that's what he called Moses to do. And yet, Moses sinned. He didn't trust God. He didn't obey God. And God forgave him, and God forgot his sin. But we haven't. When we think of Moses, we remember the time that he struck the rock when he was supposed to talk to it. And even though God sent the water, he was displeased with Moses. And Moses, again, God was painting a picture of the Savior that only needs to be struck once. And Moses struck the rock once and water came out. And when he struck it again the second time, he messed up the eternal picture that God was painting about Jesus. And we might think, well, God was sure harsh on Moses because all he did was strike a rock instead of speaking to it. And God said, you can't lead my people. I mean, the task that God had prepared him for, the task that he worked at for 40 years to lead his people through the wilderness. But God said, no, I can't let you go in. I told you to just speak to the rock and you struck it. You messed up the type. You messed up the picture that I was painting about my Savior. And God forgave him and God forgot his sin, but we haven't. We still recall it to mind. You see, sin is erased from God's record, but sometimes it's not erased from the school's record. Sin's erased from God's record, but sometimes it's not erased from the company's record. Sin's erased from God's record, but sometimes it's not erased at the police department. Sin's erased from God's record, but sometimes it's not erased at the credit companies. Or it's erased from God's record, but it's never erased from our reputation. It's erased from God's record, but it's never erased from our conscience. David said, and I believe he bore this the rest of his life, my sin is ever before me. God had forgiven him. God had forgotten. But there were other people that hadn't, and David himself hadn't. And that, and God's forgiveness causes him to forget our sin. But sometimes we have a hard time forgetting it ourselves, and sometimes other people have a hard time forgetting it. They never do. They never do. Number two, forgiveness does not bring back wasted years. Jacob was a man that wrestled with God. His name was changed to Israel. The people of God were named for him. He was forgiven for deceiving his brother, for deceiving his father Isaac. You remember when he and his mom schemed together against his dad, when he put the sheepskin on the back of his neck and on the back of his wrist, and he went in and stole his brother Esau's blessing. He deceived his father, and he pretended to be Esau and got the blessing from Isaac. He got forgiven for that. He got forgiven by his brother Esau. I mean, Jacob went away to stay with his uncle, his mother's brother, because Esau was ready to kill him. But when he came back 20 years later, Esau's the one that met him and hugged him and said, "Oh, I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you of that sin." But even though he got his brother's forgiveness, even though he got his father's forgiveness, it didn't make up, and it didn't call back the 20 years that he spent apart from his family. It didn't call back the 20 years that he spent apart from God. God forgives us, and he does all the good things that we talked about this morning, but there are, if we go into sin, there are years in our life, perhaps, that we can never call back, that we can never relive. I mean, we can go forward into the future, but God's forgiveness doesn't change the past, those years that we've wasted. Naomi came back from Moab. She was accepted into the community. She was respected again. She helped her daughter-in-law, Ruth, get a new husband. She was forgiven for not trusting God. The reason they left in the first place, because they didn't trust God. A famine came, and food was scarce. And Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, decided they would go to Moab because the famine won there. And their sin was not trusting God. And they went. And she came back. But she could never get back those 10 years that she spent in that heathen land. She could never get back that time that she spent away from the will of God. And so, again, God's a forgiving God. 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible, and he will forgive us if we can confess. But if we walk into sin, there are going to be parts of our life outside of the will of God that we're going to waste. There are going to be months, there's going to maybe weeks, there's going to be months, maybe years, that we're never going to get back. That's what sin does. Number three, forgiveness doesn't give us the opportunities we once had. I'm glad God is a second chance God. I'm glad he's a third chance God. I'm glad, I mean, I could keep going on. I'm glad God never gives up on us. I'm glad of that. But I'm also glad that God is a first chance God. God's a salvaging God, but God's also a preventing God. God uses marred vessels, but he also uses unmarred vessels. God uses bent and broken reeds, but he also uses unbent reeds. We can leave the will of God, and when we come back, God will put together another perfect will for our life. But it won't be as good as the first will. But I'll tell you tonight, God's second best will is always better than Satan's will. And God's second best will is always better than what the world wills for us. But when we go into sin and we leave the will of God, sometimes God can't use us in the way that he wanted to use us before we went into that sin. Doesn't mean he won't use us, he just won't use us in the same way. And so he puts together another plan. He always has plan B. He always has plan C. He always has plan D. And again, those are good plans. Those are his plans, even if you're on plan Z in your life. God's plan for you is always better than the plans that we can make for ourselves. And again, I don't want to discourage anybody tonight, and I'll wrap it when I wrap this up, you'll see why I'm saying these things. But he always has a plan for our life, but the one he has for us originally before we went into sin is better than plan B, better than plan C, better than plan Z. He's always got another plan, but it's not as good as the plan he had for us. God can pick up the fallen, but Jude also says that he can keep us from falling. God's the God of restoration, but God's also the God of prevention and preservation. And then number four, forgiveness doesn't undo sin's damage. When Naomi came back from Moab, the marks of sin were on her face. You remember what the people said when she came back? Is this Naomi? Is this the one that left 10 years ago? And Naomi said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Now, she'd been forgiven. God had blotted her sin of not trusting him out. Her record in heaven was perfect. But her friends still said, is this Naomi? The marks of sin were still there. Forgiveness comes, but the damage is done. I mean, her husband and her two sons were still dead. God's forgiveness didn't restore their lives. David was forgiven, but Uriah was still dead and Bathsheba was still pregnant. Noah was forgiven, but his son was still cursed. Abraham was forgiven, but Ishmael was still an illegitimate child. Moses was forgiven, but he still missed the promised land. Mary Magdalene was forgiven, but she still lived with the conscience that reminded her of her sin. So, let me tie the two messages together, okay? Let me tell you why I spent tonight telling you what forgiveness does not do. See, I have two jobs as a pastor. I actually have more than that, but I just want to mention two tonight. My first job is to say to those who left the will of God and have gone into sin, come back. God will forgive you. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The forgiveness of God is a wonderful thing, and we talked about it this morning, all the things that the forgiveness of God does. And so, if you've left the will of God, and again, please understand tonight, I believe there are people that leave the will of God in one area of their life, and God convicts them of them, and the rest of us, as we look at their life, may never know that they've done that. But God does. And you know it. And so I'm not talking about Christians that get out into deep, dark sin, that turn their back on God and commit every kind of sin that the world has to offer. I'm not talking to people like that tonight. I'm talking to good Christians tonight. I'm talking to people that love the Lord tonight. But there are areas in our life where perhaps we have left the will of God. And we've been convicted by God. And so I say to you tonight, in that one area of life, come back. Come home. God will forgive you. He'll restore you. And then my second job is to say to those who haven't left the will of God, don't go. Don't go. You be obedient. You stay pure. Don't waste your years. Don't waste the opportunities. Don't waste the perfect will of God that he has for your life. Sin will mess that up. Sin will mess up that will. You stay in God's will. Now, again, we look at Luke chapter 15. We read the story of the two brothers that are in the story of the prodigal son. And again, I know the brother that stayed home had an unforgiving spirit, and I know all that. But you know, sometimes we misalign the older brother. He stayed at home. He stayed obedient. He stayed in his father's will. Sometimes we malign him because he didn't welcome the young prodigal home. But sometimes I just want to stand up and cheer that older brother. Hey, thanks for being an example of standing by the stuff. Thanks for not going away from home. Thanks for not going into that far country. Thanks for not leaving the will of God. And there are people sitting here tonight that fall into that category. And I thank you for being the example that you are, for standing true, for standing firm, for not leaving. And I say to you tonight, don't leave. Don't get out of God's will. I mean, stay right in the center of it. Stay firm. Satan's going to try to pull you out. The world's going to try to pull you out. Satan will send circumstances into your life. Satan will send situations into your life, cause you not to trust God, cause you not to believe that he is a God that can do anything, that can do the impossible. Stay right where you are. We sometimes sing the song, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. To all those that have left the will of God, come home. To all those that haven't left, don't leave. Don't leave. The forgiveness of God is a wonderful thing, but it can't take care of everything. Can't take care of everything. Let's live our lives in such a way that it doesn't have to. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray that we'd listen. I pray that it would be a challenge to us to stay true, to stand, to stay in the center of your will. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never experienced the forgiveness of God because they've never come to Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit, you would speak to them. You would show them their sin. You would show them the penalty for that sin. You would show them that Jesus, your only begotten Son that went to Calvary's cross to die for them, is the only hope they have to make things right with you. And if there's just one here tonight that's not saved, I pray that they come to Christ tonight. And I pray for the many Christians that are here tonight. Help us to examine our lives, our hearts, our minds. Have we left you in some area of our life? Do we need to come back? Are we trusting you the way that we should trust you? Are we depending on you the way that we should depend on you? Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Convict us. And then help us to fix it. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.